everybody. Welcome to the Chat Wheel. It's September 15th. I'm your host, Darius. It's brought to you by CyberPower PC, as always. And let's introduce the people on the show today. As always, we have Greg. What is Hip Laird?
Hello. Good afternoon.
How you doing, Greg?
I'm doing pretty good. Yesterday was Oktoberfest here in Boston. So I was nursing a hangover at about 8:30 p.m. last night. So that was interesting. But
it's an early hangover.
Yeah, it's because I started drinking at 1 p.m. It's Oktoberfest.
It was okay.
But the good news is that I woke up this morning and I was actually productive. I went and bought carrots. So I went to the grocery store. Here's my random aside for today. I went to the grocery store. I came back with 8 ice cream cones, a bottle of beer, and carrots. That's not a joke. That's what I got today at the grocery store.
That sounds like the worst Sunday I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, I'm doing good, though, as you can obviously tell.
I kind of pity you, but I also am proud of you at the same time, because at least you got some carrots. Mason, Wei Dota Ciotti, how are you doing, my friend?
Hey, everybody, I'm doing pretty good. I think I'm about to start a philosophical journey towards Greg's version of productivity, because it sounds pretty appealing to me. Carrots, ice cream, and beer. I mean, that's if I can do that and feel accomplished with myself, I think I'm doing all right.
Yeah, that's a productive day for me. I went and got carrots, beer, and ice cream.
Yeah, but he never mentioned the ice cream, just the cones. So we don't know what's going in the
ice cream. They were ice cream cones, drumsticks.
Yeah. Okay. Drumsticks. Oh, they're not the
not just ones. That would be
He's actually just putting the carrots in the ice cream cones.
That's what I'm
pouring the beer on top of it.
Yeah. Okay,
it's kind of healthy. How are you doing, Mason? You all right?
I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, I'm always happy to be here.
I know you are. You're the happiest guy here. And our very special guest this week, Andrew Ziori Campbell. How are you doing, Ziori?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk to my buddy Greg. Him and I got to bump into each other in PAX East this year, so that was a rare treat. I'm glad to have the opportunity to hang out with you guys for a little while.
Now, some people may not know who you are, what you've done, so I'm going to give you a little bit of a backstory about Ziori here. He founded Ziori TV just a little over 2 years ago, September 1st, actually. We just passed the anniversary, and it covers a lot of games.
Did you make yourself a cake for your anniversary?
No, I didn't.
I'm planning on doing that for my website's anniversary, so I was just wondering.
We get any of the cake?
Do we get the
cake? We can have a what is it? Okay, sorry, keep going. We can have a party, though.
All right, we're just making sure we're getting some. All right, but your website covers Heroes of New Earth. It has covered in the past. Heroes of New Earth, League of Legends, Dota 2, and there's a big section about cosplay. There's a weekly podcast called the Ziori Podcast. There's vlogs you do. And you have a webcast online every week, though. You mentioned in your latest vlog that it might be changing a little bit, called the Cosplay Room.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct? Is that all about right?
Yes, yes. Yep, you're on par so far.
And finally, thing everyone in the actual Dota community will know you for, is you launched Dota Radio with the start of season Star Ladder 7. And your normal co-cast is Apoc, and he's also been your lead artist for about 2 years.
Yep.
How's that been going for you?
It's been great, actually. It's been really fun to get back into casting. I've been doing esports for a long time, even though I've yet to really achieve epic level notoriety for the most part. I started in StarCraft 2. I got into esports with the launch of StarCraft 2. I discovered Team Liquid and played in some tournaments, and I decided that I wanted to start hosting tournaments, so I threw together this little website called hypercrew.com, which was a StarCraft 2 tournament site. And I got into the casting just by accident, but it was pretty cool. I kind of liked it, and I stuck with it, and I did StarCraft for about a year, and then just sort of ran out of opportunities and ideas. And at that point, our website was so terrible that it was just taking a painstaking amount of effort to update it. So that ended, and then I launched Ziori.tv, and the rest is kind of history. I've done all sorts of stuff. I worked very closely with itsgosu.com. I'm sure you guys may remember them hosting a Dota tournament or two back in the day. I don't want to slam too hard, but they were the most clueless bunch of idiots I've ever had the pleasure of working with. I wasted an absurd amount of time buying into their bullshit about all these awesome tournaments they were going to do. So I actually started casting Dota 2 almost exactly a year ago with the It's Gosu Razor Mini Madness. At the time, my co-caster was Kawa. He's casting for ESL now, I think. I see him tweeting a lot.
No, he's at BTS.
Everybody.
Now.
BTS, yeah. He's all over the place. He's popular, though. He's much much exceeded my where I'm at now. I've actually casted with AC before, too. I've casted StarCraft with AC. So him and I actually go back quite a ways. If you recall, he was an Itzgosu caster from way back in the day. So I've done a lot of stuff, and most people know me from Heroes of New Earth. I worked for Honcast for about six months or so, and I casted DreamHack Summer 2012 with Honcast. So that's really my big claim to fame, being on the DreamHack main stage once. So I've been sort of dormant the past, 6 months or so, just sort of looking for opportunities to break back in. I was trying to get into the League scene for a while, but we can talk for hours about how Riot and Valve operate their scenes much differently. But it's really hard to break into the Riot scene unless you're riding the Riot horse and you're on their payroll. So couldn't find a place to break in there, and then this idea for Dota Radio sort of just occurred to me, and I realized that DotaRadio.com was available, and I had that aha moment where I was like, maybe the stars are actually aligning for something. Maybe I can actually do something different and break into the terribly competitive market of English commentary for Dota 2. And that's where we're at. I've been casting every day for Star Ladder Season 7 since day 3, I think. Day 1 actually launched on my co-caster's birthday, so that screwed up our beginning. But I think we've done every day since day 3 of Star Ladder Season 7. So it feels good to be back at it. That's my kind of esports in a nutshell history there.
It's a pretty impressive resume.
Yeah.
Sort of. Something.
I mean, I can say this. That is one more time than any of us have or will ever see the DreamHack main stage.
Well, that's selling yourself short, Mason. Maybe one day, you know?
I mean...
Well, you can be in the audience and you'll see it.
I have been following Greg's regiment to become a professional Dota 2 player. So I've boned up on my poor mother jokes and insults.
Uh-huh.
I've got a lifetime supply of Cheetos just to the left of my desk.
Right.
And I've been playing nothing but Pudge for the past 10 weeks.
Yeah, but where's your beard? Really?
I mean,
you need the beard.
It's here.
It's iconic.
It's true.
It's an Amish beard, really. I mean... You're missing a mustache.
I've been bearded for a long way for 3 years.
I can say my win rate's probably gone up about 0.5%, but Greg tells me that if I keep following this, that it's pretty confident that I'll be picked up by an organization at some point soon.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
One day. What about Apoc? What's his story? Because some people may not know him.
Yeah. Probably not. He's an artist. He's just a freelance graphic designer. Him and I are really close to the same age. I have a 4-year degree in entrepreneurship. He has a 4-year degree in graphic design, and him and I graduated pretty close to one another. He might be a year ahead of me, actually. Now that I say it out loud, I can't quite remember. But I've been working with him for a while. I met him about 2 years ago, and he was the one that did actually the logo design for Zayori TV all those years ago. And he's just been my guy. I've worked with a lot of artists in esports over the years. I've learned a lot of things about working with volunteers and just how to, you know, run these kind of grassroots organizations. And he is one of really the only one that he's the longest person I've held on to by far. He's just easy to work with. He's a good artist. I rarely have to send it back. And when I launched pitched the Dota Radio idea to him, I was originally planning on having to solo cast all of it because, I don't know, how do you find a co-caster in our current climate, right? And he was like, oh man, I'd be happy to do it. He's a big Dota buff. So, he's nobody that you would have heard of. He's just my artist. He's a big Dota 2 fan. He's been playing Dota for a really long time. Unfortunately, his accent's a little bit thick. He knows it. He's a little not really self-conscious, but, it's one problem that we're having now where, you know, that language barrier. He speaks English pretty well, but for doing casting, it's a sort of another tier of English you need to speak. So that's one of the problems we've been having, but he's a really cool guy. He's one of my best esports friends, I have to say. I have a tendency to, when I part ways with somebody, I usually cut the cord pretty hard. It's Gosu being point in case right there. It's all good until it goes south, and then that's it. So he's one relic from the past that I've hung on to.
If you don't get to light the bridges on fire, then it's not as fun, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's the way I like to think about it, you know? Go big or go home. I don't like to go home.
Aren't you home right now?
Yeah, it's that little bit of dog barking.
I think we have the same chair. That's very random. I think.
We do. We do have the same chair. IKEA, man.
Yeah.
It's a good chair.
Sorry, that's my second random aside for today.
That's fine.
We'll get past them eventually, maybe. Probably not.
All right, well, let's move on to the actual show. And we're glad to have you, Zayori, as always, you know. Us .tv website's going to stick together.
Yeah, exactly, man. Damn right. You gotta pay out the ass for that Dot 2.
Dude, it's
man.
So expensive. It's bullshit.
You know why? You know the history about that?
No.
I have a side here if you guys want a little history.
Oh my god, it's so expensive.
So everyone thinks the Dot TV is for broadcasting. Like, hey, ABC was like, let's make Dot TV a thing. Actually, it's a country domain for one of the second smallest country in the world, second only to the Vatican, the country of Tuvalu. I think T-U-V-A-L-U, something like that. And Dot TV is their extension. And the second smallest country in the world lucked out because, hey, TV also means television. So they found a way in their struggling economy, which is made up of essentially...
Dot TV domains.
Nothing. They've got, what, 100 people on their island?
Brown nut market sellers and...
Yeah. A third of the country is the airstrip to get the airplane on there. I mean, this country is like a third trash, a third airstrip, and then a third housing because there's nowhere to put the trash. They're on an island, right? So to help their struggling economy, they decided, hey, you know what? We can charge out the ass for this .tv domain.
Dude, they're like $40. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. You are supporting the country of Tuvalu with a .tv domain. So there you go.
That's incredible.
Is that? Can we make that a tax write-off? Greg, look into that, would you?
Well, call it charity.
Charity?
Yeah, it's charity, right?
Oh, we need to do a little bit of research on this country.
There's their Wikipedia page for you.
Perfect.
All right. Well, let's get into the show.
Yep. Sorry about that. There you go. No,
that's useful information. I'm happy you brought it up. That's the kind of thing that I need to know.
Yeah, see, I learned something today, which is more than I can ever say talking to Darius and Greg on a daily basis.
And that's all you'll learn. So Kai P, is fucking killing it recently. They're doing well. Sing Sing and E.E. Sama. Except, mm-hmm. Well, they did lose to Alliance today, but honestly, who doesn't lose to Alliance? You know, they're pretty tough. But they're currently 5-1 in Star Ladder, 7. They're 3-0-1 in We Play. They're beating a ton of top tier teams, and Bone 7's Armlet Clockwork is a new meta, which I've got to try out, apparently. I never tried that one.
It's a. just to stick on that last point, the Armlet Clockwork is pretty sweet. Because it gives you a lot of health, gives you a lot of tankability when you kind of stick yourself in there with somebody in the cogs. You know, a lot of times, I mean, you play a lot of Clockwork. I've been picking it up a lot. You hook yourself in there, you throw your cogs up, you throw your battery assault, and pray to God that they don't
cross. Cross your fingers, you take your hands off the keyboard, and you hope that it all works out.
You hope either your teammates come and theirs don't show up.
Almost. I will give you a tip, right? When you hook in... And you've hooked in, and as you're flying in on your hook, you think to yourself, oh, fuck, I've made a mistake. As soon as you hit that person, you turn around, you hit a cog, you attack a cog, and you get the fuck out of Dodge, and then you pray to God, okay?
Because what happens is. That doesn't sound nearly as fun. I have to keep my hands on the keyboard if I do that.
No, no.
I'm looking to take them off the keyboard.
I'm giving you useful advice here, because as soon as you leave, when they try to leave the cogs, if they're dumb, they're going to get stung by a cog, and then you run away. So if you ever get in a position where you hooked in and you would immediately regret your decision because you see like four other people around them, do that. And then if you're lucky, they'll be knocked back for the cogs and you run away.
Yeah, that's the point.
There's your story.
That's the point where I say to my team, I did my job. Why didn't you guys follow?
That's right. I hooked in. I landed the hook, guys.
Yeah, I landed the hook. I got the cogs.
Where were you? I only went 2,000 units. You should have been there.
Anyway, yeah, the armlet's nice. It gives you a lot of tankability. You can toggle it for the cheap health, and it makes you hit pretty fucking hard, especially, you know, if you can get one pretty early in the game, you know, just on top of the damage from battery assault and the flare, and you're whacking on them with an armlet, it's pretty legit.
Do we think Kai P is in a position now with the new members to actually make a difference?
They're really good.
To win some tournaments?
I think it seems like their weakest player... I don't even know who their weakest player would be, but all the players are performing really well. Sing Sing, I've said this before, but Sing Sing, like, despite what it appears, is a super dedicated Dota player. He cares a lot about the game, and like his teammates also caring about the game. EE is like the same way. You could say what you want about EE, but he cares more about Dota than anyone that I know. And
why do you say Sing Sing appears not to care about Dota? I think he appears pretty passionate.
I mean,
just because of the way he is on stream.
Yeah, like the way he portrays himself on stream with, like, you know.
Oh, you got to recognize it's an act, man. It's like watching reality TV. He's just messing around.
Yeah, exactly. So if that's not obvious, I think he's they're a good pair together to
Does anybody watch his stream and really think it's serious? Like,
dude,
Mask of Madness on Outworld Devourer. That's pretty legit. Like,
I mean, people do.
Of course, he's messing everything. I love Sing Sing. I watched a lot of Sing Sing. When he was doing the TI3 breakdowns, that was some of the best analytical discussion I've seen in like my time watching professional Dota. He's really friggin' good.
He's really fucking smart too. Like, again, it's one of those things that when he's on his stream, you know, in the quote public eye, like, he acts silly, he does stupid stuff, he has his catchphrases, but I mean, he's a fucking smart dude. Like, he knows a lot about this game and how to play it, and I mean, I don't think any of us can doubt that.
And E.E. Sama gets a lot of crap for some of the things he does or doesn't do, but Greg was over in Rhode Island with him, as a matter of fact.
Rochester.
Rhode Island. Nobody goes to Rhode Island.
That's true. And you said he was a pretty nice guy.
Yeah, he was super nice. I hung out with him for a whole weekend. And
where is he from? What country is he from? Canada. Oh, he's Canadian. I didn't know that.
He's Canadian. European. Of course he's nice. He might have a little bit of the keyboard warrior syndrome, but he's a good guy.
Honestly, one of my biggest beefs right now is players not using their real names when they're in competitive matches. That really drives me crazy, especially trying to get back into casting and, you know, getting used to the rosters and the players. That is my biggest complaint with competitive Dota right now. Just use your real name, man. Like, you have a name in that last match, EE is Canon, the purity of Will. I mean, if I didn't know who he was, that would be...
Yeah, he's been running that for a little while now.
Absolutely drive me bonkers.
You can at least put an EE at the beginning, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Especially now when a lot of rosters are still kind of undergoing things and people are standing in for other teams left, right, and center. Like Na'Vi yesterday when they had one and, like, Carrot one as their two stand-ins. And one was Pycat and the other one was a Russian pub star, which is apparently Walnut. Igor. But, like, even the BTS casters were like, who the fuck is this guy?
And then he named himself Dale Blade.
Dale Blade Mail.
Yeah, Dale
Blade Mail.
That one made me laugh.
Wasn't someone RoboCop recently?
That's what Fat has been.
Fat has been RoboCop recently.
Stand in RoboCop.
Yeah. I can just see someone going in to watch Na'Vi like, "Go dead, fuck this game. I'm not watching it anymore." And just leaving.
I'm pretty sure Kuroki is the only one that's actually been using his tag.
Yep. I like it.
Another team we actually talked about this team a couple weeks ago and said it was an amazing team. We're looking at him. We're going, oh, Resolution, God, Virtus Pro, not doing so hot.
Oh my God,
isn't that great? 1-5 in Wii Play group stages, 4-5 in Star Ladder. What's the fuck's going on? Are they just in that delicate starting phase where they're not exactly quite where they're supposed to be yet, where they're still learning to be a team? Is this like, you know, a great B movie that we'd see from the '80s where they come back, you know? It's like the dysfunctional like slap shot or something, and then they show up later on and they get their shit together and they win the grand finals.
I mean, it could be. I don't know.
I hope so.
I imagine that it's probably, I think it has something to do with like the interactions with players and stuff. I don't think it's I mean, it's clearly not a skill thing, at least. Okay, I guess you can make the argument that Light of Heaven is kind of fallen off the boat, as they say. A lot of people seem to think that he's sort of lost his competitive edge. Which may or may not be true, but I don't know. I expected a lot more from this team, that's for sure.
I mean, look at the rest of the team. Between, I mean, God, Goblack, Resolution, NS, like, on paper, they should be just absolutely monstrous. I mean, that's something that we talked a lot about last week and a couple weeks ago. And, I mean, I guess you can just chalk it up to team chemistry or whatever, but I mean, let me put it this way. I think 4-5 in Star Ladder as a brand new team, even if you are that good, but you're still learning to play together, I think 4-5's okay. They've shown that they can go at least close to 50-50 against some of the better teams, and that's fine. I think 1-5 in the Wii Play stages is just like...
rough.
What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, but who have they played in Wii Play so far? Have they had some rough opponents compared to what they'll have later on?
The only other team that I think is notable in Wii Play in their group is Kaipe.
Okay, I just want to say they lost to 4FC in Star Ladder.
Who?
4FC, 4 friends.
4FC's not doing too bad.
They also lost to Quantic. They beat Fnatic, which is kind of random.
Quantic's garbage anyway.
But then they lost to Power Rangers. Like,
that was
Power Rangers is like the definition of a tier 2 team.
don't hate on Power Rangers, man. They upset Navi yesterday, and they played pretty well. They picked on Dendi's Bloodseeker. It was a weird game. You picked Bloodseeker, I know.
Okay.
I know.
Tell me about the legitimacy of the Dendi Bloodseeker.
Still. It was a pretty impressive showing. I mean, even with those picks, it's still Navi. I thought they were going to wipe the floor with Power Rangers. And Power Rangers not only played well, but they won. That kind of blew my mind. I think the exchange was like 4 rares for 24 or something like that on Dota 2 launch. It was some unbelievable blowout. Some people got rich off that.
People were rolling in the rares.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they beat teams who I've literally never heard of. Aspera.
Aspera's actually
doing
okay.
That's like Sharfik and Zisu. Oh, that's Go Audio. Okay. I know who that team is.
Go Audio.
But still, yeah, I don't know. That like, I expect, to make a long story short, I expected them to be playing a lot better than they are, that's for sure.
Yeah. I would chalk it up to team chemistry mostly because that's not one of those teams where I felt like there's one person weighing them down, you know? Like Light of Heaven is playing particularly bad in all the games. It just seems to be, overall, they either get out drafted or they just get outplayed or it's a close game and they make that one mistake and... because they haven't really been getting rolled over. It's not like they've been blowouts. It's just these close games where at the end they make one bad choice as a team and then it's over and you lost. And that's where that kind of...
So it could be inexperience as a team as well.
I wonder, and this is just purely my own speculation, but when it comes down to that split-second decision, you know, I wonder how much of it is due to the fact that I feel like that's a team where, you know, to use kind of a hackneyed phrase, a lot of Chiefs and not so many Indians. I mean... Light of Heaven is very much used to being in a driving role. Go Black's used to being a captain. God is used to being like a very like not a captain, but like a very influential player. Same with NS. Like, I wonder if some of that chemistry just kind of stems from some of those guys.
Too many cooks in the kitchen to use a much more politically correct phrase. Yeah, I think
thought mine was just fine. Thank you very much. You know, being able to kind of put their egos aside to work more as a team rather than, well, no, I think we should do this. No, I think we should do this.
You definitely could be right. I would not disagree with that statement one bit.
I'm very sorry if I offended anybody. I didn't mean to.
Can't believe you. We've lost the entire Native American.
Yeah, our whole Native American viewership is now out the fucking window. Thanks to you!
My wife is Native American. Thank you very
She's
going
to stop listening now. Look what you did.
Cherokee
tribe. Let's be serious. She didn't listen in the first place.
I'm actually Native American. I'm a legal minority. I've got the little Native American card with some gibberish on it that I can't understand.
Just great, Mason. You fucking alienated our guest on the first episode he's been on. I can't even look at you.
It's all good. The American Native American spirit is not strong these days, guys. It's not so good on the old Indian reserves. You ever been there?
No.
I try to avoid that. Ooh.
They don't even put like the Indian with a tear on the television anymore. It's terrible.
No, it's bad, man. We've lost it.
But you know what? You know what is good? LGD Int is not.
Oh yeah.
They're not folding. There's a lot of rumors that they were just going to disband and never see them again. But nope, they're coming back in their new roster.
New and improved.
New and improved. Well,
air quotes.
New and to be seen.
Yeah,
if
improved. Maybe improved.
Possibly okay roster. Being Brax, Misery, Podgecat,
Podgecat.
Fly your ass over to China.
I always read
him,
never speak him.
You
know?
It's a tricky one.
Yeah, Black, my favorite guy in the world. I love him so much. And X Freedom, but he's only standing in until after the Ace League because he has to do military service. And after that, they don't know who they're going to replace him with. They had a couple options, but they can't really get them in. So we're waiting, I think, until they get done with Ace League to really solidify the fifth place. They want X Freedom. It's not a problem of him being just only good enough as a stand-in. It's just he can't do it.
Unfortunate.
So Black has obviously come from Mouse. Do you think he's going to have more chance to shine in this role? Like, he's going to go to China. They're all going to China.
So this is kind of a weird thing for me because Black is kind of... I know you love Black. Black's kind of known as the dude that, like... kind of says, fuck you, team. I'm going to farm until I'm ready.
That's how I play.
And, like, he does... That's what he does. He farms until he's ready. And LGD Int used to be the team that you were used to seeing with, like, unbelievably early rotations to make sure that, like, no one died ever. And then they would exploit that in, like, the mid-game to just rack up kills. And I'm not sure... I mean, they're going to have to change their play style a bit. They've still got Brax on there, who I think is the most talented player on that team. Might be a little controversial to say that, but Brax is, like, unbelievably good. He's the new captain. He's moving roles. He was on the offlane. Now he's playing four, presumably. This is what the Join Dota article said. So if we accept that as true, he's going to be playing four now, which should be pretty interesting, I think. We'll see how it works out. I don't know. This is kind of a weird team for me. X Freedom especially seems super random. He's like, as far as I know, he's never played with any of these other guys before. And he's from Singapore. He's not even from the same region of the world.
Has he been on any teams?
X Freedom?
Anyone would know about? Yeah.
Yeah, he was on Zenith.
Okay. I'm asking for the sake of people listening.
But I don't know. Like, it's just a weird team for me. It seems like a mishmash, random assortment. If the rest of the team is able to win their lanes, Black should do really well. But the problem with a player like that is if you start losing other lanes, you need your carry to, like, rotate or do anything but farm. Black might not be your first choice. So we'll see. I don't know. I hope they do well because I really like Brax and Pycat. So
it's definitely going to be an interesting team chemistry-wise because you've got three players that were already together in... Yep. Brax, Misery, and Pycat. And then you've got Black coming from, you know, a very, like, a big team. Mouse is a big team from the European scene, which is very different from X Freedom coming in from the Eastern Southeast Asian scene. And, you know, even though Zenith was not, I mean, they weren't a Chinese team, but, like, they didn't necessarily play the traditional, you know, Chinese style of Dota. You know, they did crazy shit like no bans and stuff like that. But even so, like, there's definitely a difference in play style and just an outlook on a match that's coming from, you know, a guy playing in Germany, a guy coming from Southeast Asia, and these three guys that are coming from all over the world but already have some experience with each other. So I think how well this team is going to do is very much going to be up to how well they can coordinate.
Yeah,
I think it'll be up to the captain though to really kind of reel Black in.
Yeah,
he's gonna have to give him cues. Yeah. You know, I mean, if he's doing what he's doing, it's great. And they need him to rotate. He's just got to have the ability to have a TP scroll on him.
I mean, the good news I think is
get in there and then jumps in.
I don't think this team's really gonna have communication problems. Pycat and Misery's English is good. Brax is obviously is extremely good. He's from America. Or Brax? Did I say Brax or Black? Brax, anyway, his English is really good because he's from California. Black actually has very good English. X-Freedom is from Singapore, so I assume that his English is at least passable.
It should be fine. Yeah. They speak English in Singapore as a first language, so he should be fine. But actually, speaking about Black, what happens to Mouse? I mean,
they're dead.
Most of the team members have gone at this point. Syndrin's left.
No, right. Syndrin's still there, right?
I thought he left. Has he left the team yet?
I don't believe so.
Not officially, right?
Are you reading Syndrin left on the team there?
Yeah.
No. Those three players are left on the team. They remain.
Oh, grammar's important.
Fucking reading comprehension, dude. Come on now.
See, it's on part. There you go. On the team. That changes everything.
Do you want me to bold that for you?
Yeah, please. Can we bold that? Hold on. I'm bolding it right now. There we go. All right. So we got three remaining members of the team, but what happens after this? Do they replace them? I mean, Mouse is an organization, so I don't feel like the team's going to go anywhere. I just think they have to reform again, I would think.
Yeah.
There's Haas been a lot of standing in for someone, but I'm spacing on which team it is. He's been a stand-in consistently in Star Ladder the past... 2 weeks.
Hasn't he been playing on Ubalist?
I'm trying to look through the matches, and I might be. Is that how you say it? Is it Ubel?
Yes,
I say Webelst. I don't know if that's right.
That's how we say
Ubalist.
It with a horrible American German accent.
Yes, Ubalist.
Ubalist. Yeah.
And they just disbanded.
Yeah, Ubalist just disbanded though. So
really, yeah, Paas has been one of the stand-ins for them, and I'm pretty sure he's played in every match that Ubalist has played in, but they lost every match of Star Ladder.
Yeah.
Well, he's from style. Paas is like pretty much always kind of stuck around Alex, so that doesn't really surprise me that much. But yeah, I mean, Syndrin, we'll have to see if he keeps playing competitive Dota. I don't know what team is gonna want him, to be honest. He has a lot of experience as a captain, but I don't think he...
Why wouldn't he keep playing competitive Dota?
He can cast competitive Dota and make way more money.
Oh, that's the... I was just going to
He's a fantastic caster. When him and Toby do stuff together, I mean...
Everybody loves him.
As far as I know, there's kind of been like a standing offer that Cinder can join the Freaks for You staff like whenever he wants.
Yeah, I would... Yeah. I would assume that.
That at least used to be how it is. I don't know how it is now that Moose is kind of, like, departing, but I assume it's not really going to change.
I feel like his relationship with Toby will pretty much keep that door open whenever he wants to walk through it. I feel like he wants another shot, though. Like
he already had another shot.
I feel like
he sucked it at TI3.
I think he wants another better shot, though. Like, yeah, Mouse was his shot at TI3.
A shot that wasn't bad?
I don't think he's going to be satisfied with that. I think... I wouldn't be surprised to see him turn to casting, but I also wouldn't be surprised to see him try it one more time before calling it, you know?
I agree with Mason. I would say, in my experience from Han, dealing with that same kind of thing, when I quit Hancast, they hired Tralfmador after me, and it was a similar thing where it's harder to be a pro gamer than it is to be a pro caster. If you've been a pro gamer and you have that kind of street cred, you can really transition into that almost any time, especially if you're someone like Sindarin that has such a sort of positive connotation about his name. So for him, it's sort of, I would imagine he's thinking, if I give up on my dreams of winning a TI now, I'm not going to have an opportunity to do it again. Once I commit to casting, I have to commit to it. So I could see if he wanted to have another go at it, or maybe two more goes at it if the next one doesn't work out. Just that mindset of, well, I can always go back to casting. That's what Trout did. He casted for 3 months after I quit and then went back to being a pro gamer in quotes, because I don't think he makes any money, but went back to trying hard. So... I don't know. Sorry, Trouf, but I mean, come on.
I'm sure he doesn't watch this anyway.
Coming soon, Sindarin, TI-25, gray hair, gray beard.
Seriously, man.
Going for his 26th chance.
Poor Sindarin.
With Moat. I love Sindarin. We only roast the ones we love, as they say.
And no,
that's weird, because I'm pretty sure I roast everyone.
Well, you're just a dick.
Oh, that's true.
And, I mean, in all of this as well, you know, trying to figure out what Sindarin's going to do and where Paz is going, I mean, Koifa still kind of remains a mystery here.
Yeah. He could be moving to an NA team. He's so young, though. He's like 17.
He's so good, though.
So jealous. I was good at anything when I was 17.
Yeah. I mean, I was...
Let alone video games.
I was pretty good at some things when I was 17.
I was pretty good at failing classes. Does that count?
I was good at being a douchebag. That's about it. High school Ziori was not a cool guy. That's all I'm saying. I'm always jealous of these young kids. So you see these, like, 14-year-olds that are, like, you know, winning thousands of dollars in turns. How cool would it be to be in, like, ninth grade and just take a week off classes and come back, like, hey, where were you? Oh, you know, I was just out playing video games all weekend. Yeah, we won, like, 20 grand. No big deal. I'm pretty serious. Like, that's, like, my dream, to go back in time and make that happen, to be the cool kid at school.
I mean, look at Arteezy. Like, oh, what'd you do over summer break? Well,
traveled the world, you know.
Did played some a few girls, tournaments, won some money.
I don't know. I'm not
now
the kind of person.
Back to high school.
My ego would be huge. 15-year-old me would be like a complete ass. I don't know if I'd want it. I came up very humble.
I was a complete ass without that, so.
You're a complete ass at 22, so. Or whatever age you are at this point. Fame would not matter with you at this point.
So much love.
I love you, Greg.
Feel the love.
You owe me $20. I love you until you pay me back. IG finalized their roster. YYF is on the third position. Ferrari 430 is on the second. Faith is on 5. Howe is on 1. And Banana is on 5th.
That's 2 5s we've got in this roster.
Oh, my bad.
One of them's 4.
Faith is definitely
Mason.
4, probably.
Yeah, I tried.
Is almost certainly 4. First, but we'll have first to, this team looks beyond. This team looks sick, though. As long as Howe stops randomly dying in games, I think this team will be sick.
Yeah, really.
But sometimes, like, sometimes he kind of just walks around and dies, and, like, that just needs to not happen, and it'll be fine.
That's pretty solid advice, I'd say. Howe, if you're listening, this
Howe,
is how
if
you win
can
CI4.
Cow, don't die.
Don't die.
Don't die and you'll win.
Next
Mason,
month.
You should also take that advice.
You know what? I was on the phone for a consistent two Dota games last night and went 13-2 on Clockwork and also really good on a puck.
You should talk to Bone 7, maybe.
I don't.
Wow! Holy shit! We weren't even going to talk about that, and I just brought it up. Oh, well. We'll talk about that later.
We were leaving that one out, but we'll get there. At this point, we're going to get there.
Oh, Craig.
There's some good players still left, though. What do you guys think is going to happen to Schwan?
I don't know.
Where's left for him to
maybe
go?
Okay, here's my, in my brain, last night I was thinking, I was like, oh, what if Schwan joins LGDN? Holy shit, that would be amazing.
In place of X Freedom?
In place of X Freedom, yeah.
That could definitely
wouldn't
be
that
a thing,
be insane?
That would be cool.
That team would be amazing.
When does Ace League end, though? How long until?
I don't know.
Because if it's a couple months, then he's just be sitting around doing nothing for a couple months.
You're right. He doesn't have any money from winning the international.
Well, I mean, I have a joke, but I'm gonna leave it alone. The phase costs a lot of money. Moving on.
Oh my god!
That was That's a low blow.
Disclaimer at the beginning of this episode. Man.
Yeah, if you are a professional player, just don't watch the show anymore. Just do yourself a favor.
I love you, Chuan. I'm sorry. Sometimes my brain-to-mouth barrier doesn't work quite well. Ice is still available. Yamata is still available. Kabu is still available.
That's incredible clockwork. Right? You guys just got lazy.
No, that's a different one.
Ice is on DK.
DK.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, there's an Ice and an Ice.
They're both on the same team.
At one point, they were both on Zenith.
Yeah.
That quadruple really Ice.
With me. Yeah. All right.
You might
four times the ice.
You know, that's one you need to notate. But they're all open. It's okay.
That's a lot of really good free agents left.
Yeah. Maybe they'll just join up, get a dog to play the fifth for them, and then they'll just win.
Oh, God.
Meanwhile, the NA roster is still not done. EG, Fear is living at the EG house in San Francisco.
Yeah, this is the start of the new EG team. Fear apparently is definitely on it. Noticeably, Demon is still not at that house. Who knows? I honestly have no idea who's going to be on that team at this point. I've heard so many rumors, some seeming less credible than others, but like MSS seems like a definite possibility for that team, although it seems like they were close to like having something happen and then it just like stopped. Universe, it seems like it's probably going to be on that team. And then you kind of, the other team that's still very up in the air is Liquid.
What are they
like
even doing?
There hasn't been any announcements about the Liquid team. I haven't really heard anything. Liquid is very good. I'm very good friends with all the Liquid management, and they are very good at keeping secrets. Like the day before they announced the team, I was like, oh, when's Naz gonna sign a team? And they're like, oh, well, you know, when it's convenient. I was like, oh, you should look at this team. And they're like, yeah, we thought about it. And the next day he was like, what's up, bitch? We signed this team. I was like, oh, I hate you so much. But
I mean, trust me, we tried to get this information. Sexual favors were offered. Yeah, they were all turned down.
I mean, I'm not above that.
I guess that's what we get for sending Greg.
But we'll
have you guys been watching the MLG action? Speaking of NA Dota.
Yeah, speaking of NA Dota,
oh, yeah.
I have.
Mm.
You have? Yeah. Have you guys been enjoying the ridiculousness of
Yes.
the entire experience? I've been, you know, I'll be honest, that really just ruined any faith I had in NA Dota. The games I've watched have just been like, I was going to cast it, and then I watched some of the games. I was like, I don't even really want to cast this. Watching like 11-minute concedes is not what I want to do on my Sunday night.
Well, there's some serious stomps in that league. Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's just kind of how it
is.
Yeah. I think like that's kind of I watch that mostly for the picks, because NA, like, they're very willing to go deep on picks. That's like a magic term. Sorry if I just went over on it. But like going deep, like just really going all in on a strategy. And
oh, yeah.
They are not above that, and they do some sick shit sometimes, and usually it blows up in their face, but sometimes they're going to have some sweet
stuff. I haven't watched every game. Was it last Sunday? Whenever Dignitas played Shadow Fiend Eats Cake, I think, just whatever the draft was, it's like you have Dignitas drafting a normal team. They're like, oh, Batrider, Wisp, okay, great, TA, perfect. You know, they've got this like roster of real heroes. The other side is like, all right, Batrider's still in the pool. Let's go ahead and first pick Vengeful Spirit. I think they're going to grab her. We better get her quick, guys. I'm just like, Guys, if you're going to pretend to be a professional Dota team, at least, like, watch the streams and know what the top-tier heroes are. Have a clue about the meta. Like, how are you going to draft Venge over a Batrider? You got to be... Jesus, man.
Hey, man, I don't know. They have the soul read. They know what's going on.
Yeah. They've got the soul read.
But Swap is powerful, man.
I don't know. Like, NEL has been kind of interesting to me. NEL is more just extremely entertaining.
Oh, my God. The NEL has been the most entertaining Dota
that
I've watched.
It's so funny.
The amount of flame coming from each team is just... And, like, okay, I'm a guy that really is not a fan of, like, when pros shit-talk other pros. I think it's, for the most part, unprofessional. Because when it's done over Twitter and stuff like that, it's really hard to tell the level of seriousness that goes on when Chuan says something like bye-bye Burden when Joe leaves IG. Like, you don't know how much of that is a joke, how much of that is known, what we don't know about that. The thing that I like about the NEL is that although there's constant all-chat shit going back and forth, you know that all these guys know each other, and you know that anything they say is just in good fun. So it really makes it enjoyable.
Most of the time.
Oh, well, all right.
Most of the time.
85% of the things they say are in good fun. 15% are an actual fuck you.
Yeah, it's super entertaining, though. I like the NEL a lot. I've been enjoying it. And there's been a lot of games. I know that Spit has put out a call for anyone who is an amateur caster that's looking to do some of the games. Yeah. You guys,
people keep asking me to do it.
Check that out. I mean, it's kind of like it's. I don't know. It's
is it worth casting?
I've
just had this feeling like I want to put my time and energy and mental prowess on like the top level stuff and get back in the swing of all the top tier players. I don't have like the mental capacity to try and figure out who's who in the NEL with, like, you know, penis on your face facing off against, you know, Radiant's mom's titties. Like, come on, guys. Like, what are we doing here? Like, it makes me feel like it's a joke of my profession. You know, I'm trying to be kind of serious here. It's like, penis on face.
Yeah,
really?
NEL
that
is
was the
opposite.
You guys went with?
Yeah, you probably don't want to go there.
That's not, it's not serious at all. It's been really enjoyable, though, and I've liked it. And, you know, something that I do want to mention that we talked about a little bit last week, Bantrazy, we were speculating on exactly how much money he committed to all these tournaments. And Spitwad actually talked to me after the show was up, and he said that Bantrazy has contributed $3,500 to all these different leagues. So that's
Which
sweet.
Is that? NA, Dota,
NEL,
League.
IXDLO, and I think there's another one that's not announced yet that they're gonna, that money's going towards, because those are both 1,000 each. But
I did like that half the ticket sales go into the prize pool. Yeah. I thought that was a nice touch. So I mean, I don't have any problems with the event in just terms of casting it. I have very little interest.
So yeah, that's really cool. Shout out to him. I don't know. That's NA awesome. Rosters are not done shifting yet. So
they haven't even started.
Yeah.
What's the most ridiculous NA roster rumor that you've heard so far?
Well, a while ago, someone said that Brax was going to EG. So that seems pretty ridiculous now.
Now in hindsight, that's a fucking cop out, Greg. Fine.
We play Courier. How do you guys like that?
Oh, my God.
Oh, Jesus.
Fuck the Courier. Fuck the HUD. The HUD is horrific.
It's
the Courier literally looks like
a good troll.
Someone
really
drew it onto paper with fucking colored pencils. It's horrible. It's fucking horrible. I hate
it. It is really
them.
That bad.
It's...
I thought people were just, like, you know, being on the Reddit herd mentality, and then I saw it and was like, wow, this is, like,
one of the
bad.
Most horrible things I've ever seen.
I spent 3 months, messing around with Photoshop in my time off. I'm going to make a HUD. Bam! There you go.
Like, the HUD is, like, I can't even defend it. They're both so fucking bad. I hate them both. I hope they didn't pay someone for that. Jesus.
I mean, you know someone got paid for that.
That's fucking horrible.
I mean, I liked the Courier. When it was named Justin Bieber, I was going to name myself Justin Bieber, take his picture and put it in my Steam icon, and then only use that Courier for a while. Just troll all day.
It's fucking horrible. Now it's like the wood chopper or something.
Yeah,
wood chopper.
Yeah.
Wood chopper.
As if wood chopper is much better.
Yeah, seriously. It's a fucking it's so bad. Oh my God.
At least it's not Justin Bieber. Let's just be appreciative of that.
Oh my God, though. It's
love
just,
it.
I don't
I thought the HUD was
say.
Way worse than the Courier, though. I think they're both bad, but the HUD, like, actually blocks part of the minimap. That is next level horrendous. I mean, my biggest beef with that whole thing is I don't want to pay extra money for a courier and a HUD. I don't care at all about a HUD or a courier. I have to buy a lot of tournament tickets. I'm trying to cast anything I can get my hands on. I'm looking for cheapest ticket possible. I mean, I think it's cool to incentivize ticket sales and find new ways to do it, but I really wish they had a no HUD courier option or like a light option, because I really could care less about, even if it's a cool courier, I just...
Well, they did that with Star Ladder, right? I mean, you could buy the Rubik set plus the ticket, or you could buy the ticket alone.
Oh, maybe I should have bought that Rubik set. Fuck.
I did.
I didn't know there were two options.
I mean, and there's definitely a market for it, because, I mean, you can go on Dota 2 Lounge or r/Dota2Trade, and people are selling just the tickets all the time. I mean, a lot of people are buying them just for the sets, and then they'll sell off the ticket if they don't want them. So there's definitely a demand for people who just want to get the ticket at a reduced price, more than even just somebody who wants to cast it.
See, but my issue with it is, I wish we had some numbers on it to see how many, for example, when they first started doing bundled tickets, like the Premier League, the season they didn't before versus the season they did when they added the Queen of Pain set. How much more did they make? See, that's a question, because remember, this is a business. They're trying to make money. If you get twice the amount of ticket sales, or even three times the amount of ticket sales, for putting in a courier or a HUD or a set that's evolving, who can blame them? And if you only make – this will be interesting to see what happens with Star Ladder, because if they make one half of what they made when they bundled together and gave no choice, the next season they're obviously going to put a courier, a HUD – and the ticket together, because things are getting more expensive, and as it gets more expensive, they got to make more money.
I don't think you're going to lose any money giving an option, though, because the people who
we don't have the numbers.
There's a lot of people who buy the tickets purely to get the items, and really couldn't give two shits about the games themselves. As you know, crappy as that might be, it's true. So I think if you just give the option of being able to purchase without it, everybody who bought it for the sole reason of it coming with an item is gonna buy it anyway, because they still want the item.
I don't believe that's ever gonna happen.
Does that not make sense?
Yeah, but
it's sort of, it makes sense logically, but it's just impossible to say without any data.
You're making the argument right there that there are no people. Okay, what you're saying is that there are people who do not buy the ticket because it comes with items and costs $3 more. And you're saying that there's more of those people who would buy the ticket, like substantially more, who would buy the ticket because it doesn't come with items and is a little bit cheaper. So they're going to lose money.
I'm saying, why would you not just make an option?
Because they're going to lose money.
Yeah, because sometimes you pay a static amount for the courier and the HUD design. So let's say you pay $100 to get the courier designed. It doesn't matter if you sell one ticket or 1,000 tickets with the courier included. You're still, your margin stays the same there. So the less ticket they offer that, you still are sunk for the courier that you paid for.
Actually, the Premier League, I don't know how the other ones do, but we do know the Premier League did a cut of the ticket sales. So the amount of tickets they sold... But I don't know if that's every
one. It's not always like that.
But I know. But for me, for example, these tickets, right? If I'm looking at the ticket store right now, Defense of the Australians, NA Dota Elite League, Aegis Gaming, I've bought in Star Ladder and I got the set. A lot of these I may not buy, but if I see like the ESC? That's Electronic Sports World Cup. I bought that purely on the HUD alone because I like the HUD. And I have seen like some games and it's great, but that's like $10. But that's the kind of people we're talking about. Remember, you have Twitch now. You can watch Beyond the Summit on any league you want. And that's, you don't need to buy a ticket. So what gives you an incentive to buy the tickets? Either it's a pack-in, or you're going to win tournament prizes because you're watching on Twitch. They're trying to find ways to get people to buy the tickets and not just watch on stream. And that's what you're losing if you have no items, if you have no incentive to buy. Yeah, you just have people saying, I'm not going to buy the tickets because I can watch it on Twitch.
Yeah,
and I get everything. If you don't care about the items, it's one thing. But if you care about items, you're already someone who wants to win tournament items. You're already someone who wants to get more items. And that's the issue we're going to come with. As expensive as it is, you have these $1, $2 tournaments, but these $8, $9, $10 tournaments, it's just kind of how it's going.
That's just how it is. Yeah, it's not changing. It's,
that's just the direction it's going to go.
I can agree with that, and I guess a lot of this is me putting my own mentality on it and trying to think, what would get me to buy these tickets? Because as it is right now, I really just...
Would you really buy the tickets if it didn't come with the items, though? Like, would it really want you to make to buy it more?
If I... Okay.
It would for me.
Well, for you, yeah. No, but you're not... Even for me, close to the normal case.
Who I'm not a caster, I bought the DreamHack Dota 2 Invitational ticket from earlier this year because I really liked what the GD Studios was doing with it. Mm-hmm. And so I spent the... What was it? $3.99, $4 on it.
So you bought it to support the league, not to watch the games, though.
Well, no, I bought it to watch the games because I wanted to be able to watch in-game and follow some player perspectives, and I really liked who was playing. But for $4, I can rationalize putting $4 for a ticket because I'm not going to watch all the games. I'm not going to be sitting at my computer that I can watch in-game. So for me, saying, okay, I can rationalize spending $4 to support the tournament and catch maybe half of the games in-game, I can rationalize spending $4 on that. I can't rationalize spending $9 on that, even if I'm getting an item out of it.
Yeah,
see, but that's for you.
That is purely for me.
There is a magic price point there of how sensitive are people that are in the market for Dota tickets to price. And there is a magic number that you could calculate out with enough data to say, okay, $5 is that point where people say, hey, $4.99, I can live with this. But once you get up $6, $7, $8, people just say, you know, it's nice, too much. I can just watch.
I would imagine
it probably
is around like $5.
Yeah,
I think so.
For me, it's like $8. I don't mind spending $8. Anything over $10, it feels like a lot.
There's fucking tickets over $10.
Yeah, well, 10 is ridiculous.
Jesus Christ.
Well, their Star Ladder is Star more Ladder games than I know what to do with. And that, no, it's cheaper than that. It's
Electronic,
like 7.
Electronic Sports World was $10. $10 is about where we're at.
ESWC was $10?
Yep.
That's
stupid.
Steve, man.
Really that good HUD.
It was a good HUD. But that's the thing. It's like you can only... Dota Super League was $10.
Star Ladder was season 6. 4. That's what I spent for Star Ladder.
Defense League season 4 was 10. But you're getting couriers and all that to change and all that. Mm-hmm. I guess the point is it's a magic number. 10 is a number to me that once you go around there, you can spend $10 on somebody else.
I would
else.
Never fucking spend $10 on.
Yeah,
not
I think
never,
it's much closer to 5 or so.
Would,
yeah, 10 is like.
There
would
have
to
be yeah, like the
something
international.
Insane. Yeah.
Like
that, basically, instead of a compendium, a ticket is like. I mean, yeah, compendiums were $10, and that's way better than any ticket you're ever going to get.
You got so much out of a compendium.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's an isolated thing, but in my mind, that's still a comparison. When I see $10 for a ticket for some dumbass courier, like, Jesus.
Yeah, but they spent $15 on couriers.
Huh?
Couriers now are about $15 for the really good
Yeah, but
ones.
I don't buy couriers.
I don't buy couriers. I look at that and go, Jesus, you guys are really into your DLC. That's cool, you're keeping the economy afloat, but I'm not into it.
It depends on the courier.
I mean
pretty sweet
at ones. That point, if I really want an item that badly, I'm going to trade shit I have for keys and buy it in keys.
I like my naked Greeble. I'm happy with that. People make fun of it. It's cool.
Fucking hate it.
Because it looks like
Greeble.
A naked
just
baby
that
just
there.
Got born. It's fucking horrible.
I love that thing. I love that thing. I'm so glad I didn't put any gems in that stupid egg.
So weird. It makes me uncomfortable.
Moving on. We have a couple more topics, but are you able to stay, Zaire?
I can do another 5 minutes or so, and then I got to peace out.
All right, but you can probably hit the last
let's,
topic.
Let's ram into this topic. This is the one I really want to talk about. EE, Flaming Light of Heaven in a lobby.
Yeah, this was fun.
Yeah, and I actually have the pick in front of me. Light of Heaven basically says, this is a pause. They've been dropping the entire game. Kai-P had the pause a few times. There's a bunch of issues, and they're waiting for the remake, and Light of Heaven says, don't do anything, we want to forfeit, because Kai-P can have more pauses, and we need to play Star Ladder. Meanwhile, Pylai Dai says, we're sorry, Light, and then EE comes in and says, I'm not sorry, you can fuck yourself.
Yep.
And then Pylai Dai
God damn it, didn't I defend him earlier this episode?
Yeah, and then Pylai Dai says, EE-sama, please.
Oh, man. So this is...
So, about that envy.
Oh, man. Okay, so... I think my takeaway from this actually has nothing to do with the players. It does have to do with the fact that tournament administrators need to be more strict about all these policies and making them, actually enforcing them. There are very, very few leagues throughout like the last 2 years that have actually enforced their on-time policies. Because VP was like 20 minutes late to that game, weren't they? Something along those lines?
Yep. Over 10.
Yeah, over 10 minutes late, which is like very fucking late. And there is like almost no leagues that actually enforce the time standards. The Gosu League used to enforce the time things and just give game losses. And then Moscow 5 left the league, and there was this huge shitstorm about like them getting a default loss for a game because they were 15 minutes late, and then they just pieced out of the league. So like leagues are now afraid to fucking enforce these things, which is so stupid.
It is, stupid, but I can kind of see a point.
Yeah, they're businesses, man. If your big guy leaves, then...
What if Navi is late?
I mean,
are you gonna throw Na'Vi out of league when you've just
yeah
said,
no but you don't
the star ladder we have Na'Vi and it's like no we don't
kick them out of the league, you just give them a game loss for being late. Like if they're 15 minutes late, they get a game loss. If they're 30 minutes late, they get two game losses.
Yeah, but then if they have like 18 game losses because they're 10 minutes late,
well then they're fucked.
They're not going to be late anymore.
Yeah, they're late because
unless they're late because star ladder went over and you're in another one. That's happened a lot recently too.
Oh, absolutely, but I think that's the thing.
That used to be like a rule that rule had exceptions. If you were late because of another game and like mm-hmm. it was known that you were going to be late, then they kind of like made an exception to it. Because I mean, that's kind of a problem between tournament organizers, right? That's not just the team being like, "Oh, fuck it, we'll be late."
Yeah, but, and I don't think that's a problem. I think, however, if the problem is if your very first game of the day starts 15 minutes late, every subsequent game on average is going to start 15 minutes late. And so even if one team playing during that day has to go somewhere else where they're 15 minutes late to that tournament.
Yeah, you fucked it all up.
That tournament is now 15 minutes behind on every single game. So you need
an
industry standard to say if you're late and you don't have a legitimate reason for being late, sorry.
And that is one of the side effects of having a system the opposite of what Riot does, where there isn't that one central authority, and every tournament has their own best interest at heart. And as we were talking about, are you going to kick Na'Vi out? Are you going to say, you guys were late, sorry, you guys get a default, and if that's the difference between them in the finals or you know, not, or making it to the next round or whatever, then you've shot yourself in the foot because the team that everybody wants to see is no longer there because you were that guy that wanted to be the jerk to enforce the rules. It's a problem of incentive, I think. Neither side is really incentivized. The teams know that there's not a big repercussion, so they don't have any incentive to show up on time. Well, they have some incentive, but, you know, not a big one. And the tournament organizers don't really have an incentive to kick the teams out because they have little to gain from that other than just being like, we enforce the rules. Yeah, look at us.
Well, I mean, like, JD used to have that. They think they still have it. They have that system that, like, keeps track of, like, team points or whatever, like, as far as they're on time and, you know, their shit like that. Like, organizers want to do this, but if only one does it, then they kind of just bear the brunt of the flame. Everyone needs to do it. And it's like, it's probably getting a little better than it used to be, but, like, this is a perfect example of it not being better.
I mean, if you remember back to, I think it was during the DreamHack Invitational, where Na'Vi was, I think, like, half an hour late to their matches, and like GD Studio, I don't remember who they were playing, but the other team was like, it's okay, like, we don't have anything else to get to, like, we're willing to wait for a little bit. But eventually, half an hour passed, 45 minutes passed, Na'Vi didn't show up, and so GD Studio said, like, sorry, we gotta give these guys, I think they gave them two default losses. And there was just a shitstorm about that.
I don't know, I'm okay with it. I'm completely okay with organizers giving game losses.
I agree, but I'm okay with it, but then again, the business side might not be for these tournaments. That's where the big issue is to me. They might not want to lose out on sponsorship if Na'Vi's
not
promised
to
be at least
X amount. You're
not going to
lose out on that, though. If you lose out on sponsorship because you lose one team from your league, then you're doing your fucking marketing wrong.
I don't know, man. I mean, there's some pretty big...
Na'Vi might be the only exception.
Alliance?
Alliance
would keep going the
way
they are.
I don't think they're going to be late, though.
They're not the fan favorites, but, you know, they're getting there.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's end this show now because I think we've gone on for
over
an hour anyway.
So
any shout-outs, Zayori, that you have?
Oh, wow, I wasn't prepared for shout-outs. I should think about that. I always laugh when I ask people for shout-outs and they have nothing to say. And I think, how can you not have any shout-outs? And here I am. little dose of my own medicine. No, I do appreciate you guys letting me come on here. Definitely a big shout out to my co-caster for putting up with me and teaching me the ropes here as I get back into Dota casting. Big shout out to you guys, of course, for bringing me on and making for good Dota conversation. I did check out a few other episodes of your podcast, so it's an honor to be here. I feel like a little mini celebrity. Other than that, just check out DotaRadio.com. That's where we're doing all of the recent Dota broadcasting, www.dotaradio.com. All the social media and stuff is thedotaradio.com. So it's been a pleasure, guys. Hopefully we can catch up again soon.
I think we'll be hearing a lot more from you anyway.
Talk to
you later. As time goes on, just get bigger.
Hopefully,
we'll play Dota sometime. I'll show you my clockwork.
It's not, that's absolutely not a pun. You don't want to see it.
That's not a sexual pun. That's actually true. Mason, do you have any shout-outs?
I've seen your clockwork. And you're good.
I know. Tell me more.
Jesus Christ. Big shout out to Darnus Clock. Thank you very much, Zayori, for coming on the show. It was great to have you. And big shout out to you and APOC for doing the Dota Radio stuff. I was actually listening to you guys doing Star Ladder when I was mowing the lawn yesterday. And it was a real pleasure to have some fresh casters. And I really enjoyed it. And as always, shout out to all you guys who are listening. You love us. We love you. And you're the reason that we still exist right now. So thank you.
Joke's on you. I don't have a lawn.
Booyah. Greg.
Shout out to Cyberpower PC. Shout out to... shit. I wasn't ready for this either.
Shout out
to my alcohol of the day, which is Stone, Arrogant Bastard Ale. Some might say that's an accurate description of me, so we'll leave it there. But thank you for listening, as always. I sincerely appreciate it. And we're getting closer and closer to the live streaming. I hope we can do it either next week or the week after. We've got some stuff rolling in from a couple different people. So thank you to those guys if they're listening. But yeah, that's it for me. That's it.
I want to thank Cyberpower PC as always. Remember to follow us all on Twitter. Twitter. Follow us on Twitter. I haven't checked the numbers yet against me versus Mason, but
I think he's still ahead.
And remember to go see us, whatiship.tv. And we'll see you next week. Any issues, any complaints, accommodations, anything, any suggestions, send it in.
Yeah, you can send it in on Twitter or direct to whatishiptv@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. Or the Reddit post.
All of those things are acceptable. We're open to communication, you know. I'm a very open guy.
Signed, sealed, delivered. We're yours.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody, or good day, or good morning. Wherever you're at, take care.
Bye.
Bye.